and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome aboard to New Retirement Radio on WTCM every Thursday right after the 10 o'clock news with Prout Financial Design. Joining us today, Mr. Dennis Prout. Wait a minute there.
Thank you.
There we go. I was going to say certified financial planner.
Yes.
And didn't I just see a posting somewhere with another certification?
Took a test 3 weeks ago or so. It's called the Certified Private Wealth Advisor, CPWA as well.
Wow.
And frankly, yesterday, cataloging all the information for the study materials and storing it away yesterday. So as a really good designation, talk about helpful in terms of just practical use. It's great. So today is Thursday, the 12th. First off, we have Heidi Thompson joining us. Welcome, Heidi.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Yes.
And by the way, both of us are Master Elite Advisors with Ed Slott and Company. And they're actually going to have a show. We were talking with WCMU Tuesday evening, taught a class via Zoom with them on different gifting strategies, but they are sponsoring the Ed Slott program. I think it's on the 23rd of January, if my memory serves. Anyway, that'll be on WPBS station WCMU, but we'll give further announcement about that. That should be helpful to those of you who are concerned about the tax ramifications of, probably higher taxes going forward here. And then joining us, too, is Laverna Whitcup. Welcome, Laverna.
Thank you.
It's great having you with us. Good morning. And I'm really excited. Laverna, you do a great job representing not only yourself, but Ford Agency. That number locally, for those who want to contact you, if you would, is?
It's 231-941-0450.
0450.
Yes.
That's great. So let's jump right in. The healthcare in retirement for anyone who is 65, Medicare. Tell us what Medicare is, if you would, and what this sign up is that happens every fall. The general overview, if you would, first.
Okay, no problem. Medicare is a government program, as you well know, that we have paid a lot of dollars into over the years with our Medicare taxes. Our employers pay into this. And even when you turn 65, you continue to pay what we call the Medicare Part B premium. So it is a government program that was enacted back in the 1960s. Right now, what we're going through is what we call the Medicare Annual Election Period. This is a period of time between the dates of October 15th and December 7th every year, where you get an opportunity to change up your Medicare plans. And I'm speaking specifically in the Medicare Advantage world. And if you have a standalone prescription drug plan at Medicare.gov, you can also change that plan, re-enroll in a different plan for January 1st during this period of time.
So the prescription plan, they can change if needed, as well as any other Advantage plans?
Correct. If you're in a Medicare supplement plan right now, you could move from your Medicare supplement and join a Medicare Advantage plan. Again, you can change up your prescription drug plans. If you're in another Medicare Advantage company, you can change companies during this period of time. The goal here is to get everything enacted for January 1st.
Now, why would anyone want to change? I'm happy with my coverage. I don't like change, you know. Why would I want to do that?
Well, I don't know if you've seen Joe Namath or Dorothy Hamill or who was the other one? Joan London on TV.
Talking all this stuff,
Talking this all up. And So we see a lot of that advertising going around, get the Medicare benefits that you deserve. What they're referring to is Medicare Advantage programs. What I like to say about Medicare Advantage is that when you purchase those types of plans, you do have to be careful with what you purchase. One thing that I always remind customers of is that we are in northern Michigan, and Medicare Advantage plans do have specific doctor networks that they work with. So what you might see down in the Detroit area might not work as well up here in northern Michigan. The companies that I see work really well up here in northern Michigan are the Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Blue Care Network, Priority Health. I will just come right out and say it. Priority Health is my favorite company in working with Medicare Advantage programs. And then what they're talking about with all those benefits that you deserve, Medicare Advantage plans include things like, they do include your prescription drug program. They can include extras like gym memberships, dental, vision, hearing aids, travel accident policies. Another big thing is these over-the-counter cards that you get to go buy non-prescription items or even Band-Aids and toothpaste. So they're health-related items that you can purchase with this over-the-counter card that they're talking about. And then last but not least, Joe Namath is really excited about those rides to the doctor's office. Okay.
What's the relationship, Laverna, between the private companies, Blue Cross, Priority mentioned, that sell these insurance plans,
yes,
Medicare or Medicare Advantage? What's the relationship to the government? Does the government help discount that? Does it oversee it? What's the connection?
Yeah, that's a question I get quite often. What you want to realize is that you've paid for this benefit over all these years. You paid Medicare taxes, your employers have paid Medicare taxes, and you continue to pay for Medicare Part B through your Social Security check, or a lot of people pay that directly to the government. So what's happening behind the scenes is that Medicare is funding these programs. And what's interesting is that they found out that insurance companies know how to come up with these programs, make them reasonably in price, and that they do a really good job of administering the claims. So unlike the Medigap policies, Medigap is where you supplement just the A and B of Medicare. Medigap policies are, you're working with the original government AB plan, and then you're working with a gap company. What you're dealing with there is working directly with the government. Their government is administering your claims, and then your gap company is following up and taking over whatever Medicare doesn't cover in that situation.
But for the Medicare Advantage, you said, so is the government contributing a certain amount of money that allows the price to be lowered? Is that what they do?
Well, these insurance companies are graded on how well they perform. So the CMS, Center for Medicare Services, grades these companies on how it's a 5-star rating. And quite frankly, nobody in Michigan is a 5-star company in this area. It's very difficult to be perfect. So what you want to look for is companies that are in the range of 4 to 4.5 stars. What's happening is that they're getting better reimbursements from the government because of their performance. And so the better the performance, the more money they get out of the government from Medicare to administer these claims, and the better the products.
So the government reimburses the insurance companies for your claims. Okay.
Yep.
All right, so, man, that's a lot. As you were talking, Laverne, I was thinking, now what book should a person read before they come in to see you, which is kind of ridiculous.
Well, everybody gets when you're on Social Security, or Medicare, excuse me, you get that Medicare and You book. And I always tell people, yeah, you can go ahead and read that when you can't go to sleep at night.
Right.
But, you know, I always encourage people, align yourself with somebody that knows what they're talking about, somebody that's schooled in this area, that goes to school every year to get the licensing for the Medicare Advantage programs, because not everybody does that out there.
No kidding. So you've been affiliated with Ford Agency now for 22 years.
Yes.
You're also a certified counselor for health insurance. Mm-hmm. We've had you on this program, I don't know how many years, 5 or 6 now, perhaps.
Several.
Yeah, several. Yeah. Anyway, you're a local, along with your husband, Mike Whitcup. Mm-hmm. Together you own Jacob's Corn Maze and Farm, which has just gone ballistic here, popularity.
Yeah.
You bet. So you're certainly local here in the Traverse City area. And again, the phone number at Ford Agency for someone who might want to counsel with you, especially right now, is 231-941-0450, you said.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Now, let's just move on to some questions. How does someone incorporate this? What would be some general questions that you not only ask clients when they come in, but they should be asking you? How do they gauge, or you gauge, what type of coverage they should have? How does that work?
Well, I like to start out with, I get a lot of questions from people that are trying to retire of when should I sign up for Medicare. The general answer is that you're Medicare eligible at age 65. Medicare is a program for anyone that's 65 and older. Or disabled is also Medicare as well. So I do have several clients that are in Medicare because of disability. I get a lot of questions about when should I sign up for Medicare?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the general answer with that is if they're still working and you work for an employer that has more than 20 employees and you're still eligible for their health insurance policy there as an employee, well, you don't need to sign up for Medicare. If you're in an employer that's under 20 employees, you do need to sign up for Medicare because your insurance will not coordinate properly with Medicare when you're under 20 employees. That's the general rule, and that's the answer that you're going to get at the Social Security Administration where you go to sign up for Medicare. So the general answer is a lot of people work for companies that are over 20 employees, and so you may not need to sign up for Medicare right away. If you're a self-employed person or have already possibly retired and you're turning 65, you will want to sign up for Medicare at age 65. And there's a window of time that they give you, which is actually 7 months, 3 months before you turn 65, the month you turn 65, and the 3 months after that you can sign up for Medicare.
Now, is there any difference in cost? Let's say you're still working at this company with more than 20 employees until you're 68. Can you still sign up for regular Medicare then at age 68 when you've theoretically retired?
Oh, yes, yeah. And okay. And the Medicare Part B premium is ever-changing with the government. I've seen it change. I've actually seen it go up over time, and I've actually seen it discounted over time, too. So, that Medicare Part B premium is what it is when you turn 65 or when you decide to retire. The other thing you want to be aware of is that there is a graduated scale on Social Security website that will tell you what the rate is for your Medicare Part B and your Medicare Part D, because that is income sensitive.
IRMA-related,
yes.
Surcharges, as they call it. IRMA's
mm-hmm.
not a nice person when we're coming to Medicare.
Yeah.
Heidi.
Yeah, I had a question going back to when you were talking about there's a lot of smaller companies in Traverse City, and many of us work for companies that have under 20 employees. So if you're to sign up for Medicare when you hit 65, but your employer's been paying for your health insurance, up to that point, does it work in conjunction with your employer's health insurance, or are you totally switching over and then you become responsible for that cost of the Medicare?
Well, this is where a lot of my consulting comes in.
Right.
So, that employee may find it's more cost effective for them to just come off the employer's plan and go on to the straight Medicare, because the end result is anyone under the 20 employees, they still have to pay that Medicare Part B premium. So if you're paying for your coverage, you might end up figuring it out that Medicare is a very good benefit and you might want to come off of that. If you do stay on the employer's plan, a lot of times people will do that because they might have a younger spouse that they need to get the coverage for under the employer's plan. That's an example. So what you will realize at that time is that, yes, you still have the Medicare B in place, and then your employer's plan acts as the supplement to your B.
Okay. A backup to that.
So
okay? Interesting. So in this case, you've still signed up for Medicare Part B, but your regular employer health insurance is also coming in to cover those charges that Part B won't cover.
Right.
So you have to come in and see Laverna, even if you're going to keep working if you're 65. That's what that tells me.
Absolutely. do you recommend people come in and see you every year, Laverna? Really?
It depends. I mean, I have hundreds of people on Medicare, and so it's like some do, some don't. Some just will check in with a phone call, and today I'm not actually seeing people in person anymore. This whole COVID thing, I mean, it's like I've had to stop doing the office employment, so virtual technology is amazing. I mean, I can do everything through DocuSign and email and, you know, even video appointments and such. Fantastic. So it's really wonderful.
So generally, when should someone come in and see you? Let's say they're already signed up for Medicare and they're, you know, 7 years old. Generally, when should someone talk to you about their coverages?
I like to have them come at least come check in at 65. Okay. Then the next time would be when they officially do decide to retire off of their employer's plan would be another time. And then just be aware going forward that your plan, especially if you're on a Medicare Advantage plan and you do have these annual election periods that you can take advantage of, that you just the awareness that I can change my plan once a year like that. So again, you know, a lot of what I do with my clients is that I do webinars. I did three of them this year where what we did is we put out webinars that people could join and then they could see what the changes are to their products. So that's a way for me to check in with you. And then, of course, our office is continually busy. I have a backup assistant at my office. Her name is Adriana. She's awesome. And she is also licensed in Medicare like I am to be able to help field a lot of these questions.
Great. So you do webinars, and if someone gets on your mailing list through Ford Agency then, FordAgency.com, is that the website?
FordInsurance.net.
FordInsurance.net.
Yeah.
We have a caller calling about HSA plans. Is that right, Ron?
Yeah, the it was a text question.
Great.
I'll read it to you verbatim. It was pretty much generic. Here we go. Question for the Ford Agency lady, Laverna. Could you explain HSAs and how they work and what are the main benefits?
Okay, that's a big question. HSAs are health savings accounts. They are accounts that you can set up as long as you have what's called a qualified high deductible health care plan. I use these a lot when I'm helping people transition from their employer benefits pre-age 65 as a tool to help them go from their employer benefits to eventually Medicare. So, but what HSAs do is it allows you to set aside pre-tax dollars into a savings account, and then you can use that savings account to offset costs for your deductibles on your health insurance plan, anything that's medical, dental, or vision related. So it's got a really great tax benefit in that when you put the money in the savings account, it comes off the top of your income on your income taxes. The accumulations in the account accumulate tax-free, as well as when you pull it out to use it for medical, dental, or vision expenses, then it's a non-taxed benefit in that regard too. You have to save receipts because in case you're ever audited by the government for what did you spend your HSA dollars on. I'll just digress for a minute because a lot of people do get flexible spending accounts and HSAs mixed up a lot of times. Flexible spending accounts are ones that you can do through your employer. Those plans are use it or lose it. You can also do HSAs through your employer, but keep in mind that the HSAs are the money's there. It never goes away. You can put a lot more money into HSAs than you can do flexible spending accounts. And they're, again, a great tool for people to use, especially when they want to go with less expensive health insurance plans, hopefully, setting aside tax-free money and saving it for the future.
Oh, that's a great point, because HSAs are like no other type of, in essence, retirement planning vehicle out there, because you can deduct what goes in as long as you have access to them. It's deductible what goes in, and it's tax-free coming out as long as those dollars are used for healthcare-related expenses, which can just be an amazing variety of expenses.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so very liberal on the way out.
Yeah.
Great.
There's lots of great information on HSA If you just Google HSA eligible expenses and everything, but there's other little tweaks that you can use with it. You know, you really, if you can keep in contact with your healthcare provider, yeah. And if they're prescribing something specific, like for example, an over-the-counter drug is not an HSA eligible expense. But if my doctor says I need Allegra every year because I get seasonal allergies, and he puts it on a prescription form, well, guess what? That becomes eligible.
Great.
Okay.
Good. Yeah. Question.
We have a call in from Olga in Traverse City today. Hello, Olga.
Good morning. I have a question. My father passed away in August, and my mother was on his employer insurance, and it was like a, where they would, my parents would pay their premium, and then their employer would reimburse them. That's only good for 6 months, which will be coming up in like February, March. So should I change my mom to a different coverage now?
That's a good question, Olga. Am I assuming that it's Medicare that she's on right now?
Yes.
Okay. And am I assuming that the 6 months special price that she has, is it's going to terminate, you said, in February? Or is that what you said?
Right. Six months after my father's death, okay. His employer will no longer pay her premium.
Okay. Yes, it would be a very good idea for you to consult now because you could potentially lose a window when the 6 months is up. So, yes, I would encourage you to check it all out now, have your ducks in a row, and be ready to have her in the proper coverage that she needs going forward.
Is that December 15th deadline appropriate here when you mentioned you could miss out on a window?
Yeah, the December 7th window is what it is. Yeah, December 15th is something else.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Great. And then I've got another question here. The open enrollment, which actually you did the outline here for us, by the way, thank you. The open enrollment for Obamacare Affordable Care Act plans started November 1st and goes through December 15th.
Right.
What does that tell us about that?
That's a totally different topic.
Sure.
This is another reason why we are so swamped this time of year, is because it's actually the open enrollment time for the Affordable Care Act plans, where you can purchase insurance on the health insurance marketplace. That's where you can get tax credits to buy your health insurance plans. This is for anyone that's under age 65, people that do not have health insurance through their employers. This is their time of year that they can also change plans as well, you know, check in on what their tax credits are, and update their plans. So that time frame runs between November 1st and December 15th, which incidentally is my birthday, so I'm not working that day.
Awesome.
So don't wait till the last day.
No, I cut it off on the 14th.
There you go.
So someone who's going to be 65 this year, let's say they're not going to be 65 until December 15th, do they still sign up for Medicare? How does that work?
Well, good question. If you're if you turn 65 on December 15th, then your Medicare effective date is on December 1st.
Okay.
So, yeah, Medicare is always the first of the month that you turn 65.
Ah. For Olga, that last caller, just for clarity, if she's still listening, so you're saying that by December 7th, she should probably make an appointment to determine her strategy.
I think that's
for
a very
mother.
Good idea.
Okay.
I'd highly advise her to do that.
And a question about ACA, they cover pre-existing conditions.
Yes.
I know somebody who is without insurance, working hard, and had an injury with a power tool.
Ah.
Hmm. Could they sign up for ACA and have their bills from that covered, since that's pre-existing?
Yes. What would happen is that the earliest effective date you're going to get right now is January 1st.
Yep.
You can't, for that injury, whatever's happened already cannot be covered, but anything after that can be covered.
Yeah.
So, like, let's just say, you know, it broke a limb or something like that, and you can set the limb until after January 1st to have the surgery or whatever that situation is. That could be a covered expense.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. We want to take a little bit of a foray here. Heidi's got a question, too.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to go back what you said at towards the beginning of the show when you were talking about the Medicare Advantage, and you were saying how important it is to take a look at the coverage in your area because they're different. So we have so many people up here who, you know, live part of the year somewhere else and part of the year up here. So should they be looking at both places where they live, which one covers the best in both areas?
Yes, that's a very good point, Heidi. With your Medicare Advantage plans, they are subject to doctor networks. And I'm going to I'm just going to use specific examples. Like, for example, Blue Care Network in our area is an HMO, Health Maintenance Organization, Medicare Advantage plan. And you do want to stay in the Blue Care Network here in Michigan, okay? They also have this blue card thing where you can go out to some other doctors outside the state, but it can be limited is what I want to say. Mm-hmm. There are companies specifically Blue Cross. What they do is they have their PPO network. So if you can get to a Blue Cross PPO doctor that participates with your Medicare Advantage plan in another state, great, you're still in network. However, if it's not a part of the Blue Cross network, and even if it's a Medicare doctor, that could be an out-of-network situation. I know this is all wild and confusing, but I map it out really good for people when we talk about it. So now the other thing that Priority Health came out with a couple of years ago is that they opened up their networks to any Medicare doctor in the country. So wow. I can say to my clients, go to Florida. Use Medicare doctors down there, and you're still in network, even though you are on a Michigan-based company in a Medicare Advantage plan, because they have both what we call their Priority Health Network here in Michigan, and then they also have any Medicare doctor in the country. And that has just opened up huge doors for us, especially with those that want to be snowbirds.
Yeah, because that offers you a lot of flexibility on where you can spend the winter.
And I've had the opportunity to help people with that. And and I can 100% tell you it works. It's wonderful. So
great.
A follow-up question on the health savings account. What do you consider to be a high deductible?
A good example is a $7,000 deductible. That's the max deductible it can be on a single now. $14,000 on a family. Okay, so there's other variations that are somewhat lower deductible. I think right now, I'd have to go back and double check, but I want to say right around $2,500 is considered a high deductible, and $5,000 on a family. Don't quote me on that, but that's the kind of deductibles you're looking at on health savings.
Pretty significant deductibles in order to have an HSA plan with or tied to that particular health insurance program.
Yep.
Great. All right. Shay says, are family members allowed to call and request info of your office or follow up on bills for other family members who might need help or assistance on their own plans?
It's always handy to have a power of attorney. I do have forms where family members will sign that they can somebody to represent them. On a non-specific basis in general, as far as to help them make decisions and everything. And yes, the insurance companies also have like HIPAA forms that you can sign so you can get the medical information. I do not share any medical information.
Great. Yeah, you have your own regulations to follow.
Yep.
Now, under COVID, most coverage plans are going to cover costs related to COVID through the hospital, right?
Right. If you're hospitalized, obviously that's a hospitalization, medically necessary, that kind of thing. What I have seen this year is a lot of doctor's offices waiving, that the insurance companies will waive the copays if you have a doctor visit due to COVID or a testing. The other thing that's been interesting is that there's been some premium relief for people this last summer with their bills on their health insurance plans and some of the Medicare Advantage plans. I've seen premium relief in that area because of COVID.
Okay. Well, that's helpful, too. Mm-hmm. Now, next is the tax credits to purchase health insurance under the Affordable Care Act plans. Tell us how that works and how someone might participate in that.
Well, the government has this set up so that anyone between the 100 and 400% of the federal poverty level. I just hate that term. But anyway, 100 and 400% of the federal poverty level, those Americans have the right to get tax credits on the health insurance marketplace, again, if they do not have access to health insurance. So again, if you've got it through your employer, that's considered access to health insurance, and you're not eligible in general to get a tax credit on the marketplace, health insurance marketplace. The marketplace is an area called healthcare.gov. People like me, we have calculators to figure out whether or not you can get a tax credit. When you claim these tax credits, you have to itemize out what your annual income is. People ask me, is Social Security included? Yes, it is. So you have to itemize out what your income is. And then if your income falls in that category of the 100 to 400%, then depending on how many people it is in your family, or if you're single, then you're eligible for tax credits to buy insurance.
Well, now this is going to be a problem, too, because I'm thinking of a phone call we got, man, I don't know, maybe 6 months or so ago on the show, where someone had actually gotten an unexpected lump sum that year. Yeah. I don't know whether they'd gotten a job or whatever, but they had thought they were qualifying under that tax break, if you will, and then found out they had to go and refile their taxes, and they owed a significantly greater amount because they did not qualify for that credit. So that credit is against your tax.
Correct.
Right. Yep. So you've got to be careful. Anyone filing for this has to be careful that they're anticipating their income properly.
That is very correct. I'm constantly reminding people, first of all, that I'm not a tax advisor.
Sure.
However, the second thing is that watch what you're doing, because, I mean, I hear people that say, well, I'm going to pull out, you know, $100,000 out of my 401k to go buy that condo down in Florida. Well, guess what? That could be taxable income. That could really mess up what you're doing with your tax credits.
I'm telling you, Laverna.
Your premiums.
There you go. Absolutely.
Honestly, as you're talking, and I'm thinking, whoever thinks that they don't want a part-time job, you're going to want to keep your part-time job in retirement, just keeping up with all the tax and financial information that's going on out there, and taking time to visit with Laverna once in a while, too, especially in the fall of the year. So you probably see people start to come to see you maybe in summer, correct? Or just saying, I need to get going on this.
People, September starts to really start heating up with people starting to give me calls, wanting to get on my calendar for specific appointments and such like that. The insurance companies are required to get their annual notice of changes out by the end of September. So, and then October 1, boy, we hit the road running with, you know, all the changes, all the updates that we need to do with our clients' plans.
So they really need to stay on top of this. Health changes, aging, and the changes that go on with the Medicare Advantage plans themselves. You mentioned at the break there are about 6 to 8 plans for each company.
Yep.
Out there. So they can be really quite varied to address different health situations that different clients encounter or are subject to, if you will. Great.
Hey, how's the selection on Affordable Care Act plans if somebody is going to buy? Are there a lot of companies that are offering plans?
Again, with Affordable Care Act plans, you want to watch out your doctor networks, obviously, because there's some plans, like, for example, Priority Health offers a limited network plan through places like Spectrum or Beaumont, those kind of places. You want to watch those. Affordable Care Act plans, they're in terms of what the companies offer. They're grouped according to bronze, silver, and gold. And, you know, really, when you look at the options, most times people end up with the bronze plans because of what the actual cost is.
Within the bronze plan, are there like 2, 3, 4, 5 different companies competing, or one company? I mean, do you have a lot of competition there?
Not really. Mm-hmm. Not in our area. Okay. I mean, up here in northern Michigan, we're small potatoes in that area, you know, so.
Okay.
One last question, Laverna, before we end the show. Prescription coverages, generally, how's that work with the different Advantage plans?
Well, with your Advantage plans, most of them do have the prescription drug plans automatically built into them. One of the things I just been getting calls on lately, too, is that for any of you that have Medigap plans and you have a separate, what we call standalone prescription drug plan at Medicare.gov.
All right. We have to wrap it up. Yeah. Laverna's available at Ford Insurance, 941-0450, and ProutFinancialDesign.com for everything else.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.